Okay, we're talking about the doxology in verse 17. Now, under the King Eternal, immortal, he's not getting older. He's not decaying. He's not subject to the second law of thermodynamics. He's not senile. He's invisible. You can't see him. And the Bible says no one has seen God at any time. Why is that important? Because there are people who said they have, and I don't think that's so. You say, what about Old Testament people? You know, oh, I've seen the Lord and my life is spared. I think they either saw a representation of God or they saw the Lord vis-a-vis Jesus Christ in a pre-incarnate manifestation, like, for instance, the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament. You know, is it Thomas or Philip who says, Lord, you know, show us the Father. It suffices us. If we just could see the Father, would be. And Jesus says, I've been with you this long, and you haven't. Seeing Jesus is seeing God. We get that. But God, Father God, is invisible. He doesn't have form, okay? He's spirit. As Jesus says in John chapter 4, the woman at the well. If you're going to worship this formless, invisible God, you have to worship him in spirit and in truth. We're creating his image. It's not a physical image. He doesn't have arms and legs and a torso and a head like you have. He doesn't. Jesus Christ does. But God the Father, he's invisible. He's the only wise God. Well, he's the only God. I guess he's the only wise God. And wise would mean, you know, sagacious, like you would think. And the reason I want to spend just a second here is, who's smarter, you or God? Well, that's a dumb question. Is it? Is it? Because a lot of times we look at him and like, what's going on here? Like he owes us an explanation. We're going to drag him to this place called this court of fairness, and he's going to tell us everything, and he's going to answer our questions. No, he's not. And listen, calm down a little bit. He's wise, and he's loving. And no, you can't figure it out sometimes. And he's not obliged to give us answers. He wants us to walk in faith. And sometimes, as you walk in faith, the answers come. He's not unintelligent. He knows better than you. And he loves you more than you love you. So when tragedy befalls us, you keep breathing, it will. We look to heaven and say, why? And that's a fool's errand. He's not obliged to answer. Praise him for his wisdom. And I'm not cavalier. The things you're going through, the legit things, they're hard. I know. But he wants us to trust that Father knows best. He knows what he's doing. He's leading us in a place that we normally wouldn't go ourselves. I'm just going to have to say it. So we had the the granddaughter's being airlifted, life flighted, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. All you guys know, and we've shared what was gone, stuff like that. I'd never choose that. Was that hard? Oh, you have no idea. Of course you have an idea. It was terrible. It was awful. And God was there every step of the way, and we drew close to him. I wouldn't choose it. And it's hard, and it's awful in all those ways, but it's... In the end of things, it was what God allowed and what he used in our lives to bring us closer to himself. He's wise. I got to tell you that. There's some things you only find out. He's the lily of the valley, but you have to go through the valley of the shadow of death to find that out. Let's keep moving. He's the only wise God. To him be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Praise his holy name. This charge I committed to thee, son Timothy. That's warm. That's according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Christian life is war. I'm a peaceable guy. I know. We have an adversary and he isn't. I'm sorry, it's just that way. I don't know what to tell you. You know, I don't want to be fighting all the time. Then you're just defeated. You say, you know, Adam, I haven't seen it. I got to be honest with you. I haven't seen, you talk about this adversary saying, I haven't seen it. I mean, I'm just going to be honest. I haven't seen it. I would say, are you doing anything to upset him? Because even Satan's smart enough to let a sleeping dog lie. Okay? You try to serve the Lord. You try to oppose him. People don't believe in Satan. I think, like, you get out there and do ministry, you'll believe in him soon enough. And it's warfare. It is every day. We put on a helmet of faith. We have a breastplate of righteousness. We have our feet shod with the gospel, the preparation of the gospel of peace, et cetera, et cetera. We have a sword of the Lord. And we have the heavy artillery, prayer, as we'll see here shortly. But you got to. I'm committing you, Timothy. Timothy, I think, is kind of a. He's not a super charismatic, outgoing. He's kind of timid by some things if you read between the lines. And he's charging him, you know, get to it. Let's go. Hop to it, kind of thing. I'm charging you. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies. Apparently, someone laid hands on him and put a said prophecy over him. Which, by the way, is still legit, still a real thing. According to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. How do you do that? Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. You know what you're going to need to do this warfare? Faith. It's a faith walk. We've talked about this before. What happens if you let go of the faith? Oh. Some have, they've put away this faith, they've walked away from faith, and they've made their life shipwreck. They've ruined it. Can they come back from this? Is this loss of salvation? Is this, whatever it is, it's not what we want. But I want to show you something, because I've been thinking about this. I had a good conversation with a good friend the other day, and we were talking about this very thing. You know, there's always this debate back and forth. Can you lose your salvation? Can you not lose your salvation? And on it goes. And I know the verses. I tell you what, I'll argue in either direction. You choose the one you want. I'll choose the opposite. I'll argue. And I'll probably win because I know the verses. And it would be fun if you take the opposing view. And, you know, at the end of the day, it depends. If somebody's setting up a storm and they're just like, living for themselves, and they're not doing anything as far. I know the verses I'd use to warn them, don't you? And if somebody's just struggling to get, and they're really convicted by their sin, and they're really repentant, and they're trying to overcome, I know the verses I'd use to deal with them, don't you? I mean, you should, right? So everyone's always back and forth, you know, can a person lose salvation, can they not? Explain this verse to me, and if you can explain this verse to me, then we can discuss it more. If you can't explain this verse, you're not scratching where I'm itching, and so it's like, well, explain this verse first, and then we'll go from there. First John, did I say that yet? Chapter 2, verse 19. Verse 18, little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. Now, that's very key. Listen to that. This. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest. It might be made obvious to all, manifest, right? That they were not all of us. They left. That's how you know they weren't of us. If they were of us, they'd still be here. Boy, that's really good logic, John. So they lose their salvation? Looks to me like they never had it. They were never of us. So some would look at like Judas and say, see, you can lose your salvation. Listen, maybe you can, maybe you can't. I don't think you can, but I'll tell you this. Don't try to use Judas to me. I'm not buying that. That is a laughable preposition. There's no way you're ever going to prove to me Judas lost anything. He lost the opportunity to serve the Lord. Did he lose his salvation? You have to prove to me that he ever had it. You'll never do it scripturally. Maybe you had a vision or something, or you're not going to prove it using the Bible. So this verse, what does it mean to you? It has to mean something. And if it means something, then I always think that, you know, people who have left, well, they tried. They tried it. They tried Christianity. But they never, it never stuck. It was never real. They never had a born-again experience. And that explains a lot in my thinking. We see someone come and they got their sparkler all lit and they're excited. And every time the church is open, they go get baptized. And then we see them less and less, and then they're not here at all. What happened? Did they lose their salvation? Or they in a backsliding season? I know that happens. Or what? They were never of us? You say, well, I don't know, and then you're going to look at somebody, and I was sure at one time, yeah, we all have that. And if we're going to look at Scripture through our experience, I don't know what to tell you there. But fight that good fight. Hold fast the faith. Some turned away from the faith, and they've made their faith shipwreck. Let me give you a couple of examples. Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they might learn not to blaspheme. Boy, that's quite a thing, isn't it? Being delivered unto Satan. But it's remedial that they might learn something. It's not just punitive. He's trying to show them something. Have we done this? Once. It's going after a problem with an awful big club. Withdraw the protection of the church on somebody. Hymenaeus isn't a common name, so when we see it, we're thinking it's probably the same guy every time. And, where did I see it? I think it's in 2 Timothy. Yeah. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. So we see the same Hymenaeus. Here he's teamed up with this Philetus guy, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and they overthrow the faith of some. I think this is the same Hymenaeus. Who's Alexander? That's a common name. We can't take all the Alexanders of Scripture and make them the same. They're not. Is it Alexander the coppersmith who did me much evil in Ephesus? He's in Ephesus. It might be. But again, it's a common name. We don't know exactly what Alexander did, but Hymenaeus and Alexander both were delivered to Satan that they might learn not to blaspheme. It's a big thing. It's huge. So the one time we did it, someone was just sinning and sinning and sinning and sinning, and you know, they'd come with repentance and go back into sinning and sinning and sinning and sinning. And finally I asked Ron, I said, because Ron was guarding the door at the time, I said, if he shows up, tell him not welcome. And we're having communion, and I saw him at the door, and I called Ron. I said, yeah, let him in, but he went and he talked and he left in a huff, and we just see him for a while, and he came back eventually. And he never really learned. And I could tell you the end of the story, like Paul Harvey, but it's some of you know, and not very edifying. It didn't work out. He says in 1 Corinthians, there was one guy who was living with his stepmom as husband and wife. And Paul said, yeah, I delivered that guy to Satan. And it worked out in the sense that guy came to real repentance. And he talks about it in the 2 Corinthian epistle. Incredible. Take the protection of somebody, of the church, off of somebody. Wow. Wow. Again, we don't do that first. We do that last resort. But it's part of church discipline. At some point, sometimes that happens. Chapter 2, I exhort therefore. Now it's kind of it's a good place for a chapter break. I exhort therefore that first of all means priority of importance, not in order. So we don't have to start the church out by praying. Every time we get together, the first thing we do is pray. It's not saying that. Of course, I'm not against that. I think that's wonderful. It's a good way to start. Let's beseech the sovereign's blessing on what's going on here. When I teach, I always want to approach that in prayerfulness. I understand if God's not speaking, nothing I say to you is of any import whatsoever. I totally get that. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, in order of importance, prayers, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. We can go through each one of those. Some people pray like ACTS, the acronym ACTS, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Some people pray supplication. Lord, gimme, 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 and gimme. You're missing a lot of stuff. So we used to have prayer on Sunday night, and I'd say, okay, let's just spend time in adoration. You know, let's just, you know, adore God. Let's just tell him how awesome he is, how wonderful he is, how much we love him. You know, recount his attributes, things of this nature. That's a really good time. Or confession. Go ahead, you first. Tell me all you... No, we do that quietly to ourselves because guess what? Unless you have something, I have something to confess and you come and you want to talk to me about it, that's fine. But usually, or you have someone in your life who you do that with, that's fine. But usually confession is just like, I'm wrong, I know I'm wrong, and I talk to God about it. And if I'm talking to a lot of other people about it, that's usually gossip. I mean, if it's about somebody else, it definitely is. But if it's about, you know, me, and maybe because I want accountability or something. But usually we keep that stuff to ourselves. And thanksgiving. You know, so I would say, like, okay, let's just thank him. And we'd thank him for, you know, our salvation, for this place we could meet, for our health, for our strength, for our community, for our, and we can think of all the good things that he does. And then finally, supplication. This is kind of like that, but he mentions intercessions and giving of thanks to be made for all men. All men there means all men, and it means mankind, so there's women involved as well. For kings, we don't have kings, so we're exempt from this. Well, how about just leaders? Okay, just because we don't have any kings, we pray for the King of England? Boy, you should. Anyway, I don't make any political statements. Because I do want to make a political statement. This is for the people who are in office over us, and some of them are what you would consider, the way you vote, you would consider opposition party. Should you pray for them? Whoa, I pray for the imprecatory, break their teeth, oh Lord. It's not saying that. I mean, it's really not. It's saying that we pray for them, and we should. I think we are one election away from being super persecuted. We got a window of opportunity here, and I'm very sensitive to it. I think that, you know, had things gone a few million votes in another direction, we'd be in a really bad situation. I think it's a time coming that's going to be open season on Christians here in America. You say, I don't see that, Adam. Well, let's go quickly to 2 Timothy chapter 3, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. It's perilous times in most of the world. We got a little bit of a reprieve. But I think it's 40-something countries where what I'm doing right now is illegal. Think about that. It's perilous times a lot of the globe. Know this also, in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Boy, I wish I could give you an illustration. You're just going to have to use your imagination, I guess, right? Or watch the news. Without natural affection, boy, again, I wish I could give you a... let's keep going. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent doesn't mean adult diapers, it means, but it does. It means no self-control. No self-control. Do we have a society that has any self-control? Incontinent, fierce, despises of those that are good, coming soon to a neighborhood near you. Despises of those who are good. Hey, live and let live. You got your God thing going on. That's fine. You're entertained. I don't care about it at all. I'm not a big God person. You can have your religion, have your fun, whatever. Oh, no. No, 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 no. Once they can't shout us down, once they can't deplatform us, once they get those things, then it's just going to be, oh, it's fine, just as long as you meet inside the... They tried that, you know, just meet in the church. Whatever happens there, that's fine. Don't bring it out into the community. Separation of church and state, which is laughable, which is laughable. Their version of it is laughable. Not that it should it should happen, but not the way they've interpreted it. No, it's going to be traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Again, I wish I could illustrate some of these points. Crazy. They have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. From such turn away. Is that happening? In the last days, perilous times shall come. I was just in 1 John saying we're in the last days. Many antichrists, you remember that passage? Say, that was written 2,000 years ago. It's been the last days for a lot of days. But I think of a day, age, thousand-year day. You know, to the Lord, a day is a thousand years to a day. Lord, when do you come back? He said, what are you talking about? I've only gone a couple days. And by the way, he's come back on the third day. No, really. I'm telling you. But, and that's very scriptural. But anyway, back to 1 Timothy. So pray for the kings, pray for those who are in authority. Why? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. That's all I want. Leave me alone. I'll leave you alone. Leave me alone. I'll share the gospel. You say, I don't want to say, oh, okay. And I'll shut up. I'll go away. I'll bother somebody else. When somebody says no, 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 I'm like, oh, okay. Right? Me. And you say, no, I just press on. Well, that's, you know, there's a time when you're casting pearls before swine. You figure those things out on your own, okay? And how you do and how you live your life. But I just want to be left alone. I just want to lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. What is that talking about? This. You should have a home. You should have a vehicle. You should have a job that pays you well so you're able to help others out also. You should have a stove in which, if you're a grandmother, you have your little 7 or 8 year old granddaughter and you're showing how to cook cookies and you're baking stuff for her and you should, God wants all this stuff. You're saying, really? Yeah. Yeah. You know he doesn't want you hiding and running for your life every day. You can't share the gospel that way. He wants you to have a quiet, a peaceable, leave it to beaver kind of Mayberry kind of existence. No, he really does. He really does. Does he want everything chaos all the time? You fighting to... It's happening a lot over the planet. He's allowed that over the planet. But he wants you to pray for leaders. And we don't have a commitment to a leader so much as we have a commitment to the rule of law. And I don't care what party's in charge, you're supposed to play by the rules. And there's supposed to be recourse when you don't. That's a problem here in America. We've seen a lot of things go on. Have we seen anyone in an orange jumpsuit yet answering for it? We just saw an indictment last week, and I was praising God for the indictment of someone who I thought was already a rule breaker, a law breaker, and should have to answer for it. Will we see people, will we see more and more? We have to. We have to. We have to see the unruly have to answer for their crimes. I don't care what party. I don't care what party. Is there a list, an Epstein Island list? Let's see it. Bring it. Well, that might have some embarrassment. Not for me. And if I don't care who, what party people, that don't matter. Answer for crimes, okay? We need that. We need that in America. And we should pray. Well, I want to lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. God says this is good. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, that we pray for your beloved governor. That's what it's telling me. Your president, the administration, your congresspeople, whether on your... what you perceive as your side or not. There's no, you can twist it and try to make it sound something else, but this is what it's saying. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. God wants everybody saved. This says that. Now, if you're a Calvinist, there's a tension here, but it's all on you. It's not on the Word of God. Let me tell you something about God. He wants everybody saved. Well, how come everybody isn't saved? That's on you. Don't shoot the messenger. If you're not saved, that's on you. He's no respecter of persons. Does he love you? He loves the whole world. He gave his son. Everyone's available. The cross of Jesus Christ, the blood that he shed, is available for everyone, excluding nobody. Nobody's excluded. Well, you'll never stand for God and say, how come you didn't save me? I can't believe you didn't rescue me. He's like, I so wanted to. You remember Jesus in Jerusalem crying, weeping? I wanted to save you. I wanted to rescue like a hen with her chicks under her wings. I wanted to draw you to myself. But you would not. Look at, if you're saved, I love you. I promise you I love you. That's a you problem. I can't say it. I want to say it like a gentleman. I want to say it like my heart is breaking because it really, 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 super really is. That's a you problem. God's saying, I'm not holding anybody at arm's length. I wouldn't. He saved me. I'm telling you, he's no respecter of persons. He saved me. He'll have all men come to be saved and to come into the knowledge of truth. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, Jesus, the man Jesus Christ. Well, if anyone should be able to come to him, let everyone come to him, no matter what religion, no matter what belief system, no matter what. No, I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way. There's one way, but praise God, there is one way. It doesn't have to be. Go to sin, he could have said, forget it. There was 8 souls saved through the flood. There could have been 0, and we couldn't have said anything about it. Like, you know what I mean? Grace is grace. I got in on the grace of God. It wasn't merit. That's how you got saved too. And we get in through Jesus Christ, not saints. I'm alluding to my upbringing. Catholics here would tell us, well, yeah, there's one mediator between God and men, but Mary, she's the mediatrix. So we feminized the word mediator, and then now it's okay. No, no, no. We don't get to Jesus through St. Jude, St. Christopher, St. Bernard. Nobody. I'm not going out of my way to poke somebody in the eye, but I will tell you, because I was victimized by this sort of thinking. Why only Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time? He's the only one who paid the payment. You know, you remember the Ransom of Red Chief by O. Henry? If you haven't read that in a while, you should. What a great story. It's a short story. You can look it up. It's probably online. It's probably really easy to get hold of. They take this guy captive, and finally okay, if you want to see your kid back, you have to pay this much money. And the parents wrote back, yeah, if you want us to take him off your hand, you're going to have to pay this much money. It was because the kid was a real rabble-rouser. It was a funny story. But it wasn't funny. Our situation wasn't nearly so funny. We were captive, held captive by Satan. What was the ransom? The blood of Jesus Christ. It's the only thing it can pay. That's why there's only salvation one way. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is only one ransom. There's one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, because there's only one ransom paid. There's no other, well, I'll just be good, and it's too late. Again, I'll just be better than what? I've given you this illustration before. It's a stupid one, but it'll stay with you. So I'm going down the highway, and I'm doing 80, so I get pulled over. He says, you're doing 10 over. I said, yeah, but last week I was in a 50. I was only doing 35. I was doing 15 under. You still owe me 5. Being good doesn't outweigh being bad. You still have to pay the penalty for what you did wrong. And the wages of sin is death, hell, separation from God eternally, except if that payment has been made on your behalf. And you've accepted what's been done on your behalf. It's very straightforward. He gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Is this the first time you've ever heard that? It seems like I say it in different variation every week. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. An apostle. it's impossible that I get that word wrong again. Okay, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. Again, remember? Chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior. He's averring his apostleship. Why? Because he's going to a place where, look at verse 9, in like manner also the women adorn themselves. But he's ordaining, he's talking about his apostleship, okay? I'm ordained a preacher and apostle, and I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Everything I say, it's true. It's God sent me to tell you these things. I will therefore, because I'm an apostle, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Your hands, to be effective prayerfully, have to be holy. You have to be set apart for God's purpose. Holy hands, without wrath, no malice involved, without doubting, your prayer is prayer of faith. Obviously, men taking the lead here. And I'm not criticizing women. If you've gone to church as long as I do, and like we've gone to years and years and years with a prayer meeting on Wednesday night, and it was always mostly women. And God said, I want you men take the lead. I don't know how else to say it. Job one, and get this done, pray. Pray for those who have authority over us with supplication, prayers, intercession, giving of thanks. That for all those who have authority over us, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. See, he's saying it over and over and over. Prayer, prayer, prayer. Does it make a difference? Yeah. Do you always get what you pray for? No, and that sometimes discourages people. Well, I've been praying for this for, I would just tell you this. Sometimes we don't get what we're asking for because we're praying wrong. We're trying to consume it on our own lusts. There's a lot of reasons. Well, God's not answering our prayer because we're living in rebellion. That happens. I'm sorry. And sometimes it's just, again, Father knows best. I can tell you all the things I prayed for that never happened, and now the person I was praying for is dead. What do you do with that? I think that God is good. I think that he's wise. I think that he's not willing that any should... who will have all men to be saved. Sometimes it's not up to him, it's up to that person. Always, I'd say. I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Okay, let me just read this next section. In like manner also the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh a woman professing godliness with good works. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Okay, I see our time is gone. We'll take up chapter 3 next time. I'm joking. No. Come next week. You want to see the pickle I get myself out of? I'll be like Harry Houdini. It'll be. You should come to see what I say because I'm kind of wondering what I'm going to say. Hey, it's only controversial if you don't remember that this is God breathed. This is what God wants. Part of this is going to be very explainable. This is woman in the church. It talks about let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. In my house, my wife never talks to me unless I speak to her first. She's talking to me. I say, what do you think you're talking to me? This is no. We'll learn what this says. Again, it's only controversial if there's some places that if I was invited, this would be my text. I'd start it, but I wouldn't ever get close to finishing it before they dragged me off. But we're not those type of people. We're not those type of people. We're like, what does the word say? What does it say to us? And what's the right interpretation? Because we don't want to go off in some weird we don't want to be weird, okay? But it does absolutely say something, and it's something for us. Men, pray. Women, well, a lot of stuff. But again, we'll get to that next week. And me, I'm not smart enough to be afraid of anything. I'm just fools rush in, right? But we'll talk about this in a serious way. We'll talk about what this says. Remembering that Paul's an apostle and he sent and he wrote this to the church, and God wants us to have this. National Organization of Women. It's a favorite passage, I'm sure of it. But we'll talk about all that stuff next time. Okay, if you'll come now, we'll send us out of here in song. Men, job one, pray. And men is men and women, of course. Pray for those who have authority over us. We want to live peaceable, quiet lives.